explain this to the blind. May you wake up from a sigh. See the truth through the third eye. Let your heart be your guide. Light up the way. Let your heart be your guide. Free from your pain, it ain't a mistake, cause you choose your fate. Hi guys, I hope you're having an amazing, beautiful, positive day. I am sending you so much love and so much peaceful, balanced energy. It's Misha with Feels with Mish. If you guys are new here, my podcast, I speak about feelings, understanding your feelings, and mastering your feelings to become the best version of yourself. Speaking of best version of yourself, we go through these phases where, you know, sometimes we feel really great and we feel really awesome, and then sometimes we feel terrible and we just want to back away from the world for a little bit. And so last week I had one of those moments where I just needed to take space from being of service because I needed to just be there for myself. And, you know, my podcast, I'm very vulnerable on here. I really open up and share a lot with you guys. And I think that that's what connects you and me. Even though, you know, maybe I haven't met a lot of you, but you just feel this friendship with me and this closeness and this safety from me. And it's because of my ability to just be vulnerable and be out there and be open with you guys. And so I was unsure of what I was going to name this episode, either The Purge or Everyone is Reflecting the Story. And so we can call it both of those things. The title doesn't really matter. What matters is the message. Last week I went through a bit of a purge, and the purge in spiritual terms, or, you know, when we're talking about self-mastery, is just a terrible uproar of like insecurities and old beliefs and negative beliefs and limiting beliefs that really take over a day, 2 days, a week sometimes. For me, it was just like a couple days of like really feeling like I'm not enough, like really, really, really like feeling terrible about myself. And, you know, that feeling comes from somewhere. So that's why they come up. That's why those limiting beliefs come up. Like, if you guys know, like, if sometimes you're just doing great, say you're doing really great, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you just feel like crap. And it's like, that's where a lot of people go into depression and they just stay there. You know, when we're trying to work on ourselves and become a better version of ourselves, we have to take those moments and really honor those moments and really just see those moments as gifts to us, because those are things that we have to work through. Those are things that are still coming up. And it's like God, universe, higher power, like really shining a light on what needs to be worked on. And for me, like, I just was feeling like I'm aware, right? I'm consciously aware of my thoughts now. So I'm in the observer's role. Whereas before, when I wasn't in the observer's role, I used to just go right into that depression and let it just consume me and take over my life. The fact that I'm in a space of observing myself, you're able to, you know, pull yourself out of that feeling much faster, because you're dissecting the thoughts, you're observing the thoughts, you're trying to find understanding and meaning to those thoughts. And what it did was it sent me right back into my childhood, where, like, why is it that I don't feel like I'm enough? Like, what is it? Where is that coming from? Because I really want to understand this so I can work through it. And this, for some of you listening, is going to be very important, because you have these moments and it's going to help you understand where to do the work and how to do this work. But not only that, like, a lot of you look up to me and you know, I have done a lot of work on myself, but I'm human and I have these moments too. So I want you to know that I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're all just reflecting the story that we're telling about ourselves, right? So it took me right back to many things about my childhood. The first one being that I'm the middle child in my family. So my dad always called me number two. My mom always called me number two. And not number one, not the little one, right? My little sister's the little sister, the baby in the family, right? I constantly heard my number two, Not first, not best, not that, number two. And I had this moment of like really realizing how that being programmed in my mind was a negative thing rather than a positive thing, because I never put that I was first. I never had that feeling that I was number one or that I was the baby and in the family. So if you guys are a middle child, that sounds really ridiculous, because I was raised with love in my family, but having this purge, I really had that epiphany of like, wow, that is a belief that I'm holding, is that I'm number two, I'm not number one. And it sounds really ridiculous, doesn't it? Another thing is when I was going through my little purge last week, the other thing that came up for me was that I'm never chosen, right? Like, why is it that I'm not a priority? I'm never chosen. I'm not a priority. And again, like, people are just reflecting the story that we're telling about ourselves. And I put that, always I put that with the fact that seeing my mom with diabetes, you know, like trying to save her life. And being like, sorry. Sorry. Like, there's so much resentment there for not being chosen. And where does that come from, right? Why do I feel this way, right? So what I realized is that in my childhood, I would get so mad at my mom for having a low blood sugar, because the story that I attached to that when she had like a reaction and a low blood sugar, because it brought up so much stress in my little body of like fear, panic, like rush to the kitchen, get like a piece of bread, get a cookie, get milk, run to my mom and like open her throat, like pour the milk back in her throat and like sit with her so that she can come back and regain consciousness. And then when she would regain consciousness, I would just be so mad that that happened, like resentful, like angry that she didn't take care of herself, because then I had to take care of her, and it just brought up so much resentment towards her. And I just remember like the story that I had attached to that was, if my mom loved me, she would take care of herself. If she cared, not that if she loved me, because I knew my parents loved me, but if my mom cared about me, she would take care of herself. And I just remember, like, we never ever had a conversation about my mom's diabetes. We never had a conversation about the feelings and the anxiety and the stress that was involved in any of that. Like, nothing. There was never acknowledgement. There was never a comforting in what I was feeling. I never got to express what I was feeling. I never got to talk about what I was feeling. So all I got was a pat on the back. Like, thank you. Like, or when there was strangers around, because it would happen in public. I remember being at the gym. My mom would take us to the gym and we would go into the kids' room, and there was like this big big window looking outside. These are like my earliest memories. I was like 3, 4, 5. And I just remember like me and my sisters playing in the playroom, and an ambulance would come up right in front of the window, the big window, from ceiling to floor window. And they would pull out a stretcher and they would go in and they would take my mom out on the stretcher right in front of the window. And I would just have to see her there. On the stretcher. With all these strangers around. And they would come in and be like, everything's okay, everything's okay. And I would be panicked, you know, panicked. And again, I would be resentful and mad at my mom for not taking care of herself. And it was not her fault. That's the thing. As an adult, like, I'm like, okay, like, she had diabetes. Like, it's not her fault. It just is what it is, you know? But this is where all the healing has to take place, because we attach stories to everything. And the stories that we're telling on a daily basis come from our childhood and things that happened. And core beliefs that we hold. And my core belief has always been that I'm not good enough, and that people will leave. And I attach resentment to that. And I remember coming home from school with my friends from school, you know, when I'm like 11, 12, walking home from school with my friends, and my mom having a reaction when I got home, and just my friends being like, what is going on? Like, what? Like not knowing what to do, feeling panicked, and seeing me go into like save my mom mode, like run to the kitchen, like grab food, sit my mom down, open her mouth, pour food down her throat. And then being so freaking mad at her for not taking care of herself. And So, I just got very vulnerable with you guys. And this is why I am the way that I am. I am a very empathic person, so I feel to the capacity of feeling. And so what I've held as that story holds so much feeling. So much so that I sabotage myself in my life because of it. And more than ever, I'm seeing myself, because God is elevating me to a new level. And I have to heal these parts of myself to be that version of me that I'm manifesting and creating. Because what happens is when we want something new for ourselves, the old must be purged out. It must be removed, released, recognized, so that we can iron out and work through the things that are keeping us from being that best version. And I have had such a poor self-concept and so last week was like God's way of being like, I really want you to love yourself, because like that little girl that went through that stuff, she is worthy of love. She's deserving of love. She's capable of love. She is loved just for who she is. And I got such a pat on the back for being my mom's hero. But I didn't even ask to be her hero. I was just, that's my blueprint. That's what God put me here to do, was to be there for my mom. And what I took on as that identity is that be there for others before yourself. Make sure everyone else is good before yourself. Like, make sure that they like do whatever you can, because you're going to get the pat on the back, you know? And I think that where I'm at in my life now is like, I know that I'm worth more than just a pat on the back, you know? And so God was like bringing all these things up for me to reflect on. And I had this moment at work the other day. Again, like I was feeling like absolute crap, like trash. I just was viewing myself so poorly. And I was like really not in a good mood. And there was these old ladies that were in my section at work. And again, you guys, if you follow me, I mean, I'm sorry if this is the first time you've ever seen an episode. It's a very emotional one. But we're sitting through it together, and hopefully this brings some of you back into a space of healing for yourself. So these old ladies were sitting at the table, and they were just so freaking miserable. They were so miserable. They were so rude. They were treating me like absolute garbage, like talking to me like I was dirt, like treating me like poop. And I just remember being like, having a moment of realization after I had like complained about them. And I was like, oh my God, these old ladies, this and that, these old ladies, whatever. They're treating me like crap, and kind of like being a victim, you know, being a victim in my reality. Oh, these ladies, this, like life is happening to me. Again, back into that space of life happening to me, when no, life is happening through us, because everyone is reflecting the story. Now, again, I was in a mood, and so the story that I had attached to with them is that, you know, they're rude and miserable and mean and treating me like crap. But if I was in a good mood, if I was in a empowered state of being, right, it's all about our state of being. If I had been feeling good about myself, I would not have let them make me feel any type of way. I probably would have smiled and been graceful, but I got agitated by them. And when I stepped away and when I got home, I realized like those ladies are just reflecting me. Like I can be miserable sometimes. I can be mean. We all have that in us to be what we see and don't like in others. It exists inside of us. So nobody is separate from us. They're just reflecting back to us how we really feel about ourselves. And when you're not in the observer space, you're in the victim space, and life will happen to you. But I realize, like, those ladies are showing me the version of me that I don't want to be. When people are toxic and mean, we have the ability to be toxic and mean as well. And those people are just showing us a version of us that we don't want to be. And I came to the conclusion through this healing and this uproar of all these emotions and intense revelations that God put me through last week. And, you know, the healing takes time. It's like I'm still processing and purging and releasing things and having revelation to things and connecting dots. And, you know, it's all a part of this process of working on ourselves and aligning in better versions of ourselves. Through the process, I realized that I am my source of love. That I want to be so madly, deeply, obsessively in love with myself because that's what I deserve. Because if I am my source of love, because that love exists inside of me, the feeling of love, it exists inside of us. If I am my source of love, if I am my source of happiness, that happiness, it's we are a source of our happiness. If I am that source, then I am also my source of pain. I am my source of pain. I am my source of sorrow. I am my source of disappointment, resentment. I am my source. And that people are only reflecting that story back to us. And we hold the story. We hold on to it when we haven't healed it. So all this stuff that I was coming through the past week and so on has been something I've been holding on to for dear life for so long. And it is just now time for me to recognize it and to put it down. And to really work on becoming my source of love. And just like completely obsessed with myself and obsessed and loving in a loving way with who I am. Because I don't see myself the way that others see me. I don't see myself the way that some of you see me. I have moments of seeing myself that way. But I don't see myself that way because of the story that I'm still holding on to of being number two, of, you know, being this hero that I never asked to be, of not being able to share my feelings and be validated for those feelings and trying to prove my value and worth to other people. It comes from somewhere and it is an old story that needs to die. If you guys are new to my podcast, thank you so much for being here. For those of you that are returning, you guys are the freaking best. I honestly just cannot thank you enough. You really are the reason that I am the version of me that I am today. And you reaching out and sharing your messages and writing on my podcast and all that. Just you guys, like, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much. If you guys want to book personal sessions with me, even after me being an emotional mess on this podcast episode, you can do that. Booking at feelswithmish.com. Even if you just want to email me and share some things or whatever, like, I love reading all that stuff, you guys. Thank you so much. I hope you guys have an amazing, beautiful, positive day because you absolutely deserve it. And I do too.